Let's pray. God, as we began this worship service, we come to you again, proclaiming your own word back to you, that in you, O Lord, we take refuge. Yesterday, today, and we will again tomorrow. In the name of Jesus, amen. Trouble. Trouble, 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 trouble. These are the opening words of Ray LaMontagne's song. Guess what the title is? Trouble. What's the song about? You take blues, rock, country, no matter what type of music, and there are lots and lots of songs about trouble. You know why? Because the world is full of trouble. But this is why we are spending this Easter season so much in the Gospel of John, because we stand before Jesus, and as we sing our song to Jesus, as Ray LaMontagne starts us off, trouble. Trouble, 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 trouble. Trouble been dogging me since the day I was born. It's one of those songs that you just look at the world and oh, what happened? And I like to think that if Jesus was standing here today, as we sing along with Ray, Jesus would answer the way he answered them back then. In the Gospel of John, our word these days that we need so badly, John 14 through 16 is filled with the teachings of Jesus before he went to the cross. And like I've said last week, the reason we are reading these pre-cross teachings here in post-resurrection is because the pre-cross teachings only make sense after Jesus has died, buried, and back to life. These words of Jesus are like a movie with a big twist that only makes sense the second time you watch it. And once we hear these teachings of Jesus, we may actually sing our trouble song differently too. The entirety of John 14 through 16 begins with Jesus saying these words in John 14, 1. Again, this is what Jesus said at the beginning of his last sermon block in the Gospel of John. You ready for it? First words of Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Now, there's more to hear, but you got to hear that first. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Can you hear that? Can you imagine a world without a single trouble in your heart? I can't. I'll tell you what, apparently Jesus can. And since we are followers of Jesus, just try to hear it. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And then go all through 14 through 16, and then we come to the end of that big chunk of Scripture, that big last sermon in the Gospel of John, and Jesus says at the very end in 16:33, at the end of that section, you know what Jesus said? You know the beginning, here's the ending. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, hang on, Jesus. Let me ask you a question. I thought you said to not let our hearts be troubled, but then you say at the end of your speech that you're going to have trouble. What? Notice that Jesus doesn't say that we're going to enter some utopian state where we will be blissfully trouble-free. Jesus never says that. Instead, Jesus tells the truth. Jesus says, trouble. Trouble, 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 trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. But at the beginning, Jesus doesn't say, no trouble. Instead, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Which I think is another way of saying, all that trouble, don't let it live in your heart. Is your heart ever troubled? Tell the truth. This is the place you can do it. Is your heart ever troubled? Because there at the end of the sermon is when Jesus tells us to take heart, which I think is another way of saying have courage, which is another way of saying to believe, to trust, because Jesus is always in the process of overcoming the world. So now, with all of that in mind, the resurrection, the living Jesus, the promises, the reminder to take heart, and our own trouble. Don't leave that one out. You don't have to pretend. You don't. You don't have to pretend. Hear the promises of Jesus, but bring your own trouble in here too. And hear a little bit more from Jesus. Even if your heart is troubled, dare I say, especially if your heart is troubled. I'd say that if your heart is troubled, you may be especially primed to hear this last sermon of Jesus that begins this way. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I don't speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you don't, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these. Because I'm going to the Father, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I'll do it. You know, I think the most natural response to this conversation with Jesus is, I don't get it. I don't get it. One of my karate friends, teaching friends, always tells people before they go into a test, don't be nervous. And I finally told him, you know, when you tell people don't be nervous, it makes them nervous. And there, when Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled, I kind of want to tell Jesus, you know, Jesus, quite honestly, that doesn't really help. I mean, I love you, Jesus, and I give my life to you, and I've devoted my entire life to it, but telling me, don't let your hearts be troubled in a world full of trouble doesn't help. In fact, if anything, what it does is it exposes that much more how troubled our hearts are living in this world. Do you know how many times I have heard in the last few months, probably the same number that you have, people saying things like, you know, the world didn't turn out like I thought it was going to. Yeah. Look around. All you have to do is look around. It's like, man, don't let your hearts be troubled. Okay, say more, Jesus. And then he says all this confusing stuff to Philip and the others, and it kind of stresses me out because I don't understand all of it. I really want to. But then the world, and I take one thing into account, one thing. It doesn't fix the world's trouble, but if anything, it helps a little. It's the fact that the Jesus who said this is now alive. Why are we reading this passage post-Easter? It's because it is only the resurrected Jesus who gets to say this, and it actually means something. A dead Jesus saying, don't let your hearts be troubled, wouldn't mean anything. You hear me? It wouldn't mean a thing. An alive Jesus, a resurrected Jesus, a Jesus who conquered death, now comes and says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You know what my response is? Hey, if you say so, I don't fully understand it. I'll be honest with you, I don't fully feel it every day. There are times when my heart is troubled. But if you say it, if you, the resurrected Jesus, say, don't let your hearts be troubled, I'm in. Even on the days, get this, when your heart is troubled. I can do that. The living Jesus raised from the dead. I can do that. Because it takes us right back to the first verse. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. But then you know what he said right after that? Believe in God, believe also in me. I can do that. And we may have to be reminded, you know, on average, once a week. Because for crying out loud, that world is full of trouble. And Jesus says, I know. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And we object, yeah, that sounds good, but I don't see it yet. I don't see an overcome world yet. But in our imaginations, knowing and trusting Jesus like we do, perhaps he might respond, you don't have to see it yet. All I'm asking is that you believe. And believe equals trust. Belief in Jesus' preaching and in our tradition is not assent to an intellectual idea. That's not what belief is. Belief is trust. Same word, in fact. Pre-cross, I would have gone full on Thomas. And Philip, sitting in the corner next to me, is saying it over and over again. Would you explain this a little bit more? But the truth is, we could explain this all day long. I don't think it would help. Instead, sing your song of trouble. Sing it. Sing your song of trouble because Jesus is listening. And we're listening too. Because I'm here to tell you, you don't have to sing your song of trouble by yourself. I know the world makes it feel that way. The world wants us to believe that you're by yourself. It does. The world goes out of its way to make you feel alone. Look around the room. You're not by yourself, and you don't have to sing by yourself. It's not that the trouble goes away. Instead, it's that the trouble no longer has the final word. And for us here in the living Jesus, the trouble never had the final word anyway. Because all you have to do is believe, which is another word for trust, which is another word for faith. Amen.